welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. Transcranial magnetic stimulation has been shown to be a viable and cost-effective alternative to electroconvulsive therapy for drug-resistant major depressive disorder. Although the evidence is credible and building, TMS does not have a Medicare item number and is therefore difficult for patients to access. Professor Saxby Pridmore, a psychiatrist at the University of Tasmania and researcher at St Helens Hospital in Hobart, has been an advocate for TMS for many years. He has written a new perspective, published by the MJA, and he is my special guest today on the pod. How good are we at treating major depressive disorder?
We have a problem. We have various problems. The first one is to make sure that we are looking at major depressive disorder, that is, that we are looking at a depressive illness. The other things that get confused with depression is sadness and disappointment and marital disharmony and grief and all those sort of things, which all involve sadness, but they are not going to respond to the treatments that we have to offer. They're going to respond to changes in the environment or some people who are just got personalities of a particular type. They're not going to get better without treatment. How good are we at treating it? Not particularly good, Kate, and it's not our fault in that the drugs we've got are pretty hopeless. If you take a drug like Prozac, which is pretty good, only a third of patients will get better with the first antidepressant drug they take. And then if they try all the other drugs, it still leaves about a third of people with legitimate depression with symptoms. So then what do we got next? We've got maybe psychotherapy, which will help some. Then when people are really pretty desperate and they've got significant symptoms, then we've got ECT. That clears up sort of more than half of those who get to have it. But there's no cure. That is, if people are needing serious treatment, then they're going to relapse in many instances, so they're going to relapse. We don't have a cure. So then the answer to your question is we're good at it, but we don't necessarily get people symptom-free because it's too difficult. We don't have good tools.
You mentioned ECT, electroconvulsive therapy. Is that, I mean, people have an image of it, you know, from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or whatever. It's a lot different from that now, isn't it?
We need to remember it was first used in the 1930s in Rome, and it's been used in every country ever since.
Yes.
So it does the job in most cases. There are side effects. That is, there is this temporary memory loss. Mm-hmm. Some people complain that it causes permanent loss of bits of memory. So that also has a stigma issue. That is, you do have a convulsion, so you do have a fit. People don't like that, understandably. You need an anaesthetic, you're unconscious, you have a seizure, you have some temporary memory issues. It's got its unattractive sides. But what you were saying, it's not as bad as Cuckoo's Nest. Well, I guess that's right.
Article you've written for the MJA is specifically about transcranial magnetic stimulation.
Yeah.
What is it and where does it fit into this treatment for MDD?
TMS is a fairly new method of stimulating the cortex of the brain, and it's not done by trying to get electricity to go through the skull. It uses another method, and it stimulates the cortex, and there is no anesthetic, there's no loss of consciousness, there's no seizure, but it does some of the same stuff. What you're trying to do is to stimulate the cortex and get it to function properly.
So it sounds like it's a kind of gentler form of ECT.
Well, look, what you're aiming at is the same sort of thing. You're trying to stimulate the cortex, and yes, it is gentler, no question. No anesthetic, no memory loss, no real side effects.
It does need some pretty good supervision, though, doesn't it?
I think so, yes. I mean, it needs to be prescribed. Doses need to be set by medical folk. You need to make sure you're actually got a major depressive illness and you're not treating disappointment.
Yes.
You're not treating grief. You need to know what you're doing. Once you know what you're doing, it's pretty straightforward. You require medical folk to make the diagnosis, to set the treatment parameters, but then you can have operators who are usually nurses with special training,
right,
or sometimes other clinical staff will take an interest and be trained up. For much of the time, there's no medical involvement at all, other than the distant supervision.
And how many treatments makes up a usual course of treatment?
What happens is you cause the machine to have trains. There are trains of stimuli, and so you have stimuli at about 10 hertz. That's 10 stimuli per second.
Yes.
For about 4 seconds. And then you have about half a minute rest and another train. You need about 70 of those trains, which is going to take 35 minutes or 35 or 40 minutes. So that's a fair amount of time to be sitting in a chair, but most people go to sleep, I must say. Then you'd have, usually you have, you're treated once a day for 4 weeks.
Right.
So in Australia, we're looking at 20 treatments. I'm just back from the US where people are looking at in excess of 30 treatments, but what we have found in Australia is, 20 is effective, and the odd person now and again will need a few more. But we're looking at 4 weeks, basically.
So TMS has been around for, what, about 20 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
And what's the evidence like? Is it strong that it has a good effect on MDD?
We said before that there's a good proportion of people don't respond to drugs. So they're the ones that we treat. So they're a tougher group right from the onset. And you can get half of those, perhaps more than half of those, into remission.
Mm-hmm.
So taking a tough group and getting half better is pretty good.
Yeah.
The evidence for that is unassailable. You know, it's crystal clear. There are dozens of good studies, many double-blind placebo-controlled trials with over 100 patients, and quite a few comparisons with ECT.
And how does it compare?
Actually, we did the first in Hobart in the world. That was in 2000, that was reported. In comparison, it's just about as good as ECT from the point of view of antidepressant effect. Clearly, the side effect benefit, the side effect profile is way better. I think there would be, some would argue it's not as strong as ECT, and that might be correct. We found it to be just about as strong.
I'm chatting today with Professor Saxby Pridmore from the University of Tasmania about transcranial magnetic stimulation. His article on TMS is available now at mja.com.au. So why aren't we using it more?
I don't know.
Would it come down to cost, for example?
So the machine is not inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
A setup would be a machine which would cost you $70,000. You'd have a particular chair that the person can lie down in, reclining chair. You have a mechanical arm to hold the coil over the head. So all of that will run you into perhaps $100,000.
What's the cost to the patient?
That's our problem. There is no rebate, MBF rebate. So there are a couple of ways people can have TMS at the moment. One is they can pay out of their pocket. Now, if you can imagine a setup worth $100,000 and employing someone to be with the patient all the time,
yep,
and all of those things, and to do that 20 times is pretty exing. I think most places around Australia, if they ask the person to pay from their own pocket, they're looking at something like $300 a day for 20 days. So then some academic units have this apparatus and use it for research and a limited amount of public availability. And a few hospitals here and there will have the equipment. And then we come to this next category of privately insured people. Not only is there no government rebate, there until recently has been no private insurance rebate either. So what has happened is people have waited till they got sick enough to be admitted to a private hospital, and then the cost of the treatment is covered by the cost by the hospitalisation rebate. Now, one private insurer, that's Bupa, has recently started to cover 20 treatments as an outpatient. So that's been a great step forward. I mean, it's better for Bupa because they don't then have to pay for admission to hospital. They simply have to cover this outpatient service. And that's really what it should be, Kate. We should be able to manage these people as outpatients. In the thing I've written to the Medical Journal of Australia, I'm trying to encourage people to provide an item number so that people can be treated as outpatients. I would say that two applications have been made to the Medical Services Advisory Committee, one back in 2007, one in 2014, and there's one currently in preparation. Actually, it's not in preparation. It's been submitted. It hopefully will go ahead. Yeah, so this will be the third try.
What happened to the first two tries? I mean, the evidence is there. It's been there for a while. Why were they knocked back?
Perhaps the evidence wasn't there, Kate. To be fair, in 2007, perhaps the evidence wasn't that strong. But the reasons that were given, not good reasons, I believe, for knocking it back. One was, well, you've got ECT, so that'll do.
Yeah.
You don't need both. Well, that's a bit like saying you don't need a treatment for gout. You can always do an above-knee amputation. And the second one in 2014 was about cost, relative cost. Here's an interesting thing. If you compare TMS with 20 treatments and ECT with about 8, which would you think would be the more expensive? Well, it depends on who does the sums, but ECT is not cheap because you need an anaesthetist, you need a psychiatrist, you need a recovery nurse, a psychiatric nurse, a recovery room. And it turns out that the 20 treatments of TMS are often less expensive than the fewer number of ECT. Now, the other thing that has been demonstrated is that if you take fresh patients who have not been treated before and start them on meds and then take another group and start them on TMS, by the time you do all the mucking around with the meds and changing it over and
getting the dosages right,
the dose right and all that sort of thing,
yep,
TMS is cheaper. There's certainly work that shows that. I think it is interesting how TMS works. I love this fact that if you put a paperclip on top of a table and a magnet underneath, you can move the paperclip with great precision. Now, we use an electromagnet, not an ordinary metal magnet, but an electromagnet. But the thing is, magnetic lines of force pass straight through non-conductors. So the wood of a paper, the wood of a tabletop doesn't stop the magnetic lines of force, but the wood of a tabletop will stop electricity. It's a non-conductor. So what happens with the TMS is you get magnetic lines of force go through the skull, then stop and start the magnetic field. That creates a little tiny electrical field. So it goes electricity, magnetic, electricity.
So rather than conducting the electricity, it's creating a little electrical field on the inside of the skull.
Exactly. Isn't that beautiful?
It is.
being able to put the little magnetic lines through the skull where you want them and to have a little electrical field developed inside, you can be very precise. Relapse occurs with all treatments of depression. If you stop your meds, you will relapse,
yes,
likely. Now, people think that ECT will give you a long remission, and it doesn't. You may well need further ECT in 3 months or 6 months. The same with TMS.
Right.
You may relapse. Now, that doesn't mean that the treatment is weak. What it means is that the condition or the disorder is strong. For people who are unfortunate and have relapsing conditions, you have to try and work out some way of helping. I've just been to the US and looking at what we can do about these relapsing cases. And we are treating people 5 times in 3 days, and we do that about every 6 weeks. And that's a little sort of top up every few weeks. So the thing is not to wait till the person has had a huge relapse. The thing is to get in after about 4 or 6 weeks. If they are saying, look, I'm starting to lose it,
yeah,
then we give them 3 days. We give them 5 treatments in 3 days. So they come in on Friday, 1 treatment on Friday, 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday, back to work. So that's what we're working on at the moment. We call it early relapse TMS. So we think that by the time they come back, the people with severe relapsing depression are already beginning to show a bit, and we can boost them up a bit.
All right, Saxby. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You're a champion, Kate. I'll see you later on.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.